Good morning. So good to see each of you in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to your bulletin, there's some announcements listed there. I will not mention all of those, but we'll mention a few of those. If you could take those and read them at your convenience. But also notice the pew pads located at the end of your pew. We invite members and guests alike to take those, jot down your name, and we just want to get a record of your attendance and thank you for worshiping with us today. In your bulletin there, you'll see the announcements. This Wednesday night, we'll continue our study, Major Messages from the Minor Prophets. That time starts about 6:30. We invite you to bring your own supper, and then the prayer time and study will follow afterwards. This Thursday, you see listed on the calendar there that the Winston-Salem Foundation will be here from 2 to 3 o'clock to kind of talk about some estate giving and that kind of thing. There's no need to sign up. Just please be here by 2 p.m., in Smith Hall, I believe. Also, next Thursday, Vogler's Funeral Home will be here. That is August the 17th at 11:30. There will be a lunch provided. They'll be talking about kind of pre-needs for funeral planning kind of stuff. The cost is free. Just ask you to please call the church office and sign up so we're sure to have enough food for you here. And speaking of food, we're going back to see the Winston-Salem Dash Play. That's going to be August the 22nd. This is a College Parker sponsored trip, but anybody in the church is welcome to attend. The cost is only $15. That includes your transportation there, your ticket, and all you can eat through the seventh inning. And so you can help yourself to all the hamburgers and hot dogs. We went a couple months ago, and it was a great time together. I believe they also had chicken wings, didn't they, last time? And so they had fried chicken wings. It was a great time of fellowship together. Please sign up for that if you would like to go. And I'm a little nervous about this next announcement. For all you frazzled females out there, don't throw rocks at me. I'm just making the announcement. There is going to be a frazzled female Bible study starting September the 10th on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Mrs. Lee Loftus will be leading that. There's a sign-up sheet out at the welcome desk as you leave and go down the steps to your left. Would love to have all our frazzled females come to that, and I'm going to leave it at that. But we are so glad you chose to worship with us today. If our ushers are now going to come down the aisle and proceed back, if you're a guest with us today, we would like just to give you a little bit of information about who we are and how we do things here at College Park. Inside, there's a note from our pastor. Even though he's away on vacation this week, he still left a note for you if you chose to worship with us today. And he just wanted to say thank you for being with us today. But we're pleased to have one of our own, Dr. Charles Edwards, to be back with us in the pulpit as he served here for basically my whole life. And so, Dr. Edwards, we're glad you're back with us today breaking the word. I don't have to give you any instructions on how to do things here. But as we begin our worship service, let's join our hearts together as our choir calls us to worship. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we're gathered here today to celebrate your story and what you've done for us. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be a part of your story and to serve you faithfully. Father, forgive us where we failed that this week, but right now, prepare us to go out and to serve you as we worship you this morning. Tune out the distractions of this world. Let everything that's said and done be about you. Father, we love your story, and that's why we're here to praise your name this morning. It's your name we pray. Amen. Our scripture lesson from today comes from Psalm chapter 107, verses 1 through 9. That is on page 432 in your pew Bible. Psalms chapter 107, verses 1 through 9. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and the west, from the north and the south. Some wandered in the desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good, and fills the hungry with good things. Pray with me if you would. God, we thank you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you for providing for us. Father, as we live out our lives, all of our needs are taken care of. And Father, sometimes we forget to thank you for that. Father, as we worship here today, we all come from our different perspectives of life, different places, different jobs, different backgrounds. But you love us all the same. And we thank you for that, Lord. This week, we've had an opportunity to serve you. Some of us have been faithful to that, and some of us have failed at times. Forgive us, Lord, for not sharing your wonderful story with enough people this week. Father, we ask that as we live out today and the next few days that we have, Father, that we would serve you faithfully and that we would have an opportunity to tell somebody else what you've done for us and how great you are. Father, use us to carry out your story in this land. Father, as we continue to worship, Father, let everything be about you and not about us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. don't remember where I saw it, but recently I read that what if the only thing you have today is what you thanked God for yesterday? That made a real impact on me. Please bow with me in prayer. Almighty God, Holy Father, forgive us when we forget to thank you for all the blessings you give us, for love and laughter and for friends and for this church, the staff and the congregation, just for everything you give us. We thank you for all that, and we thank you for the example you gave us in the life and sacrifice of Jesus. Now we ask that you bless the tithes and offerings, multiply them, and use them throughout the world to spread your kingdom. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
It's good to be with you this morning, but then I am most Sunday mornings. The difference is I see your faces today. Usually I'm looking at the back of your heads, and you look better from your faces. I remember that when Jeremiah was called, he protested because he says, "I'm young and I'm scared." And God's word to him was, "Don't be afraid of their faces." If any of you ever tried to speak publicly, you know the power of those words, you know, not to be intimidated and afraid of their faces. Fortunately, I look out on the faces of friends, and Judy and I are delighted to be here and to still be able to walk with you on our journey of faith through life. It's a real privilege for us. I want to talk this morning about one of the normal experiences of our life journey, and that is the experience of wilderness. A wilderness is a strange place that we don't recognize. It's new to us. Old landmarks seem to be gone. If there's a path, we're not sure where it's leading, or maybe there's several paths and we don't know which one to choose. In general, we're just feeling lost. That's an experience of wilderness, and it can happen to us in many ways. It can happen to us personally. I walked out of a doctor's office one day in the year 2010 into a wilderness. It was called cancer. Many of you have walked through that wilderness too. A breakup in a relationship throws us into a wilderness. Grief over the loss of a loved one is a major wilderness. And at our age, and I recognize many are younger than I and Judy, but old age is a wilderness, you know, just dealing with all of the things that come to us as we age, and especially when we have to move from a familiar home and a familiar place into a new place. We experience wilderness as part of our lives. As a nation, I think you can make a case now for the fact that we're in a wilderness. All you need to do is to just look at the evening news. Culturally, my generation is in a wilderness. You remember your first TV? The first TV I saw had a 9-inch screen, and it was black and white and extremely snowy. And it was in a store window in downtown Elkin. My cell phone's almost that big now. And, you know, they talked to me about spyware slowing down my computer. You know, I have to think about things like that. You know, why can't life be simple like we think it used to be? I'm not sure it ever was, but we'd like to think so. But wilderness is part of our experience, and wilderness is a good Bible word, and we need to claim it as part of our lives and acknowledge it and claim it as part of our experience of living out the Christian life. And the text I've chosen is from a people who experienced the wilderness, and you remember the wilderness story, how the Israelites were led out of Egypt into a wilderness towards the promised land. Many things happen along the way, but there's one particular passage I want us to hear this morning. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp. And then later on, inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. And then reading on, "One day, Moses said to the Lord, 'You've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways, so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people.' The Lord replied, 'I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you.' And then Moses said, If you don't personally go with us, don't make us leave this place. How will anyone know that you look favorably on me and on your people if you don't go with us? For your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all the other people on the earth. God's presence set them apart from all the people on the earth. I want to suggest this morning that we put together a survival kit to help us get across the wilderness. Three things that I think we need to put in that kit as we deal with this experience of revival. One of them is a tent of meeting. You notice in this passage a reference to the tent of meeting. As the Israelites moved across the wilderness, whenever they camped, they pitched their tents, but they also pitched a tent for God, a tent of meeting, a place to meet God. And this represented the presence of God among them. Now, God and the people of Israel sometimes had contentious moments. God would get upset with them. They would misbehave. But always there is that tent of meeting that God was moving across the wilderness with them. And Moses said it's his presence that made them who they were. Well, I would suggest to you that our tent of meeting is the church. Now, I know that individually as Christians, the Spirit dwells within us. God dwells in us, and he doesn't just dwell here in this building. But when we come together in this building, something special happens. We become the church in the sense of Jesus saying, where two or three are gathered, there am I in their midst. And when we come together, we claim and seek the presence of God with us. We come out of this world in which we live. We're banged up and beat up and shuffling our feet. But we come together and here before the presence of God receive nurture. There is nurture just in our conversations in the hall, just in seeing friends that we know and love. There is nurture in being in our Sunday school classes and feeling the fellowship and belonging that we feel in our Sunday school classes. There is nurture in the prayer request that we share together about ourselves and our friends and our family. There is nurture in worshiping together. All of these things are part of being in the presence of God. And whatever is going on with us, when we come to church, we remember that God is with us. And in his presence is our strength and our peace and our hope and our energy for going into the wilderness of another week. It's the presence of God that makes the difference. That's the tent of meeting. And that is the first thing we should put in our survival kit as we move into the wilderness. Sometimes when we hit a rough spot, we think, one, well, God has left me. He's busy somewhere else. He's abandoned me. I'm all by myself in this. No, that tent of meeting has still been pitched in the camp in the wilderness. Sometimes we get mad at God because things don't go well with us and we think that somehow God has not been fair with us. That's a legitimate part of our spiritual experience. If you don't believe so, you just need to read the Psalms. There's a whole section of the Psalms called the Psalms of Lament. In many of them, the psalmist is practically shaking his fist at God. All part of the experience of God being with us as we move together across the wilderness. And it's in God's presence that we find our identity. Moses says, how do we know who we are if you aren't with us? Now, we're Americans. We're blessed to be Americans. But our core identity is the people of God. We don't worship America. We worship God. It is God who has led us out of the Egypt of our sin and is leading us into the wilderness towards the promised land. And that's who we are, is God's people, whatever else is going on. We not only in the presence of God find our identity, we find our purpose. We are heading somewhere. The way through the wilderness is out of the wilderness, to go through it to the other side. and that's where we're headed. That's where we want to go. And it's always tempting to want to go back to the past, back to the good old days, when we remember everything to be good and we were happy and healthy and all of that. There's an interesting passage in Numbers in the 11th chapter where the people of Israel had that time of wanting to go back to Egypt. There's just a fascinating passage to me. Then the foreign rabble who were traveling with the Israelites began to crave the good things of Egypt. And the people of Israel also began to complain. "Oh, for some meat," they exclaimed. "We remember the fish we used to eat for free in Egypt, and we had all the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic we wanted. But now our appetites are gone. All we ever see is this manna." So they longed for that good food that they had back in Egypt, the good old days. But did they not have selective memory here? Did they conveniently forget that they were slaves when they were in Egypt? Going back to Egypt is not the solution. We're called to move on forward. God is constantly calling us ahead. In the story of the wilderness, you have the cloud leading the people forward by day, the pillar of fire by night, always moving to the future. For the way out is the way through the wilderness. But what we need to claim is the truth that God is with us always, whatever's going on in the wilderness of our lives. The first thing we need in our survival kit is the church. We need each other as we move through the experiences of our life. It's here that we find out who we are. It's here that we get the energy to move on in God's presence. It's here that we find a sense of purpose about moving towards the future. I know every one of you wishes you had a bottle of water right now. The second thing that we need to put in our survival kit as we move across the wilderness is a portable ark. Now, the ark, A-R-K, was a box that sat inside the tent of meeting. And in that box was the Ten Commandments. God gave the people the Ten Commandments as a guide of how to behave as they moved across the wilderness. Five of the Ten Commandments, the first five, had to do with their relationship with God, how they were to relate to God. The other five, the last five, dealt with their relationship with each other, how they were supposed to relate to each other. And so that was their guideline as they move across the wilderness. We need some guidelines. Well, Jesus has made the Ten Commandments easy for us. He boiled them down to two. Easy to remember. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy soul, and mind. And the second is likened to it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So those Ten Commandments that were in the tent of meeting, the guidelines for the people as they moved across the wilderness, can be boiled down to these two for us. And that ark for us of the Ten Commandments is the Bible that gives us the guidance in which this statement of Jesus is made about loving God and loving your neighbor. This is how we get across the wilderness, is by studying and listening to the Word of God and trying to heed that basic principle that interprets it all. That's love God and love your neighbor, whatever else is going on. But we still wander and sometimes feel very lost in the process of trying to follow God's leadership across the wilderness. Several years ago, you all know that my wife, Judy, is from Wilson. Several years ago, we were down for Thanksgiving, and we went to her brother's home, which is in Oxford. And we stayed through the afternoon, and then about dark, we decided it was time to go back to Wilson, where we were spending the night. So we left Oxford to go to Wilson. And we lived in northeastern North Carolina 25 years, but I had never done just exactly that, gone from Oxford to Wilson in the dark on those little small two-lane narrow roads. I got lost. Well, I'm not proud. I'm one who will stop and ask for directions. And so everything, of course, was closed, except I saw one service station that had a light on inside of it. I pulled up to the front and went up and looked in the window, and inside that old service station sat three men in overalls around a stove, kind of a potbelly stove. And they were sitting there chewing and spitting and talking, you know, enjoying themselves. And so I walked up and I knocked on the door, and they stopped and looked up and looked at each other. And you just could hear them saying to each other, "Who is that? I don't recognize him." But anyhow, one of them got up and he came to the door and he looked at me, and I said, "Sorry to interrupt you, but I'm trying to get from Oxford to Wilson and I'm lost." And he looked at me and he said, "Son, you ain't lost. I know where you are." Great line, great line. And he did. He knew where we were, and he told me how to get from point A to point B to get to Wilson. Well, you know, here we are trying to make our way across the wilderness of our life, feeling very lost. And what God says to us is, "You ain't lost. I know where you are. Trust me, believe in me, and I will get you across the wilderness." And our portable ark is this Bible that gives us guidance and direction to get across the wilderness. Well, the third thing that we need to put in our survival kit, other than church, and we need each other, we need church, and we need the Bible as our guide, a symbol of God's presence speaking to us. And the third thing we need is a basket for manna. You remember the manna. It's interesting. The word manna literally means, "What is this?" So is this a white substance on the ground? But they found out they could make pancakes out of it. Well, that's fine, except who wants to eat pancakes all day, every day? But the trick to the manna was the fact that they had to gather it fresh every morning. It wouldn't keep overnight. So what's the point of this? God is saying to them, "I want you to depend on me rather than on the manna. I'm the one who provides the manna. I'm the one that wants you to depend on me and not on the manna, and you'll get across the wilderness that way." Day by day, in dependence upon God. And that manna represents the grace of God, as God provides for us one day at a time the strength and energy and guidance that we need to get through that particular day. And the way we gather up the grace of God is through prayer. That's the third thing to put in our kit, and that's prayer. Church, Bible, prayer. You see, prayer is the way we access the grace of God. We come before God. We don't have to worry about what we're going to say or how we're going to say it. We need to just show up primarily and be open to God and to God's presence and to God's word and to what he might have to say to us in that moment to guide us through. I have a friend who has experienced a number of different difficulties, and he has a question that he has taught me to ask in every circumstance. Where is God in all this? His daughter's just recently in a serious accident. And he said, "I'm asking the question, where is God in all of this?" But it's that question directed to God that gives him the opportunity to show us where he is and how he's working in this particular day and the challenges of this particular day. And prayer is the way we access the grace of God. We make ourselves available to him, and day by day, he gives us direction as we guide. There's a story, There's a story I love to tell. I've probably told you before. But back to the days when we lived on farms. I never really lived on a farm, but I know what a farm is. and I think most of you do. Back in those days, there was a farm and the farmhouse, and then away from the farmhouse was the barn. It was winter time. It got dark early. Time came to feed the animals in the barn, and the daddy said to his little boy, "Would you like to go with me?" And the son says, "Sure," you know, he'd like to go with his daddy. So daddy lit the oil lamp that they had. It was before electricity. And so they stepped out of the house, headed for the barn. And that lamp that the daddy was carrying gave them a circle of 6 or 8 feet of light right around where they were. And as they moved across the yard in the darkness, things that were familiar during the day became scary to that little boy at night as he looked at all of those strange shapes. And the little boy said to his daddy, "Daddy, I wish we had a light that would shine all the way to the barn." And the daddy said, "We do, son, we do." And as he took another step, the light was right there with them. We want a light that'll shine all the way to the barn. But God says, "You've got enough light, the light for today, to get through this day. And then when the next day comes, the light will be there for that day." And so in our survival kit, as we struggle with the wilderness experiences of our life, we need each other in the church, the fellowship of believers, the community of faith. We also need to look to Scripture to give us guidance and direction about God's truths and God's principles of life, supremely to love God and love our neighbor. And we need to pray together, because that's how we open ourselves to God, so that He can lead us and guide us. One interesting thing, excuse me, I'm sorry. I'm in the wilderness of a sinus drainage. One interesting thing about this whole wilderness experience is this is where God shaped these slaves into a nation. See, across that tough wilderness, He built some muscle in them, some spiritual muscle in them, as they became the people of God. And we sometimes neglect this as we pout and complain about hardship and difficulty. It's in those experiences where we develop the spiritual muscle that gives us the strength to face the wilderness the next day. So it's not something to be resisted. It's something to be recognized and accepted, and something to offer up to God as we deal with it. And then come Sunday by Sunday to God's house with the dust of the wilderness on our feet, to have them rinsed and washed that we might be refreshed for another week. Let's bow together. Heavenly Father, we all have our different wildernesses. And if right now we happen to be in an oasis of a good place, we give you thanks for this peace and this joy of an oasis. If we're struggling in a wilderness, we seek to place ourselves before you, to be open to your presence, to what you have to show us, and to reveal to us where you are in this place. And so we simply, in either case, make ourselves available to you, that your Spirit might lead. In Jesus' name, amen. I would invite you in your wilderness to pray, first of all, just to make yourself available to God, offer up whatever is going on with you, and receive His manna for today, His grace for today. If He leads you to share something with me or with the congregation in the many ways that we receive people, you know that I welcome you as I am at the front. We're going to be singing together, "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah." Shall we stand as we sing?
preached them, I invite you to be